Did it just get hot in here? She's a hot mess. A hot, hot mess podcast. Hello, degenerates, and welcome back to yet another episode of a hot, hot mess podcast. My name is Haley, and as always, I am a hot fucking mess. So I know that it is Wednesday. I am a day behind on this episode. And I'm going to tell you why. So I had recorded and edited an entire episode on Monday. And when I did the final listen on Tuesday morning before I uploaded it, I hated it. I did not like the episode whatsoever. I thought it was boring. I thought it just went on and on and on. And I clearly was just kind of rambling at that point. Like I had lost steam or something. I don't know, maybe I was having a stroke, but I hated the fucking episode. So I decided to just re-record an entirely new one. But of course, on Monday night, I decided to spend a couple days over at Will's and I did not bring my microphone. So I didn't have any way to re-record. I didn't get back until this morning. So now here I am. It's about 2 p.m. because I am a fucking slacker. I've also had a lot of construction and stuff going on around my place. There's like a main house in the front of my house and they have been redoing floors and getting it painted, and there was so much background noise that I did not realize was picked up. So yeah, we're just gonna go ahead and re-record. Now, before I get into this week's topic, I have a couple of really fucking exciting announcements to make. First, I wanna thank everyone who participated in the Instagram vote. I asked you guys if you wanted me to change my intro, do a completely different song. An overwhelming amount of you said no, that you like this intro, so I'm gonna keep it for a while. I don't know, maybe I'll change it around when I get to like episode 200. Who knows? We'll see. The second announcement that I have for this week is a Hot Hot Mess podcast has an official Patreon. I am so excited for this. If you guys don't know what Patreon is, basically it is a subscription service that allows you to unlock more content. So I will be uploading at least one additional mini mess episode onto Patreon. It is exclusive to Patreon. If you don't subscribe to Patreon, then you're never gonna hear these episodes. And I have some really fun topics to talk about and some really awesome people coming onto the mini mess episodes. The subscription service starts as little as $5 a month. That will get you access to the additional episodes, pictures, announcements. You guys will also get early access to episodes. So when I get my shit together and actually write up a schedule, because I'm a hot mess and I'm a sleepy bitch. I like to sleep. I'm irresponsible as fuck. So when I actually get my shit together, the goal is to upload to Patreon on either Saturday night or Sunday night. So you guys will have earlier access to every single episode. And that is on top of the additional episodes that you guys are gonna have. Now, it is a tiered system. So like I said, the lowest tier is $5 a month, and that gets you what we just talked about. And then I have a middle and a maxi tier, and those unlock other perks. So the middle tier, you get to listen to any live shows that I do. I do Q&As or get to know me's. I will be answering questions live. You guys get to hear me talk about anything that you want to talk about. You can ask me any question for any advice, anything like that. And you only get the Q&As with that middle tier, which I believe is $15 a month. And then for the maxi mess tier, which is my largest tier, it's $25 a month. You get even more perks, which I'll kind of go into in a minute. Any money that is spent on subscriptions, a portion of that does go to me, and that allows me to upgrade equipment and set aside time to dedicate to the podcast. I'm also going to be donating some of the money earned from Patreon to a different charity every month. So this month I have chosen a charity that helps to fight against teen homelessness. It is a huge issue in our country, and I live in Washington. The homeless population out here is ridiculous, and I would say majority of homeless people are teenagers or young adults. I will also be posting on Instagram and Patreon how much money we raise every month for those charities. And obviously, as our podcast gets bigger, the more money we'll raise, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. I am also going to be changing the charity every month. So I will be announcing which charity I've chosen, and you guys can also weigh in online, tell me which charities you would like me to donate to. But I'll be announcing the new charity for that month on the first Tuesday of every month with the new episode. My final and honestly most fucking exciting announcement for this week. I have been behind the scenes doing something really big and really fucking awesome, and it's finally come to fruition. Everything is finalized, and I finally get to share with you guys what has been going on. A Hot Hot Mess podcast now officially has merch. You guys, we have mugs and stickers, we have canvas bags, we have shirts and hoodies, masks. For the last couple of weeks, I have been working with Spreadshirt to create our own A Hot Hot Mess podcast online store that has custom logos and designs that you guys can now purchase. And the variety of clothing is fucking awesome. Every shirt comes in like 20 different colors. It goes all the way up to a 5X depending on which item you choose. Their variety was probably the best out of anyone. And so when I had this opportunity to collaborate with them and create this online store, I jumped on it right away. Obviously, I've done my research, and they are backed by the Better Business Bureau, which was huge for me. Also, their reviews online are amazing. Kind of going back to Patreon, Patreon does have its own merchandise. The largest tier, that is also a perk that you get, that MaxiMess, you get the Patreon exclusive merchandise. And I was debating on whether I just wanted to stick with Patreon for merch or if I wanted to go elsewhere. The reason that I decided to go with Spreadshirt is because, one, the variety was a hell of a lot better. Two, their shipping was a lot quicker. And three, the price point. With Patreon, a lot of their clothes start at $30. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not fucking swimming in money over here. And $30 for a shirt is pretty fucking expensive to me. And with Spreadshirt, you can get a t-shirt for about $18. So to me, that's worth it. I'm not discouraging you from getting anything from Patreon. If you want to shop there instead, I completely understand and I support that 100%. And I thank you for your support. I'm sure their quality of clothing is a little bit better because the price point is higher, but I have gotten quite a few of the prototypes from Spreadshirt and their quality is great. I mean, I personally love it. I think the designs look really nice. And I worked really, really hard to hand make every single design and logo that you see on that website. This is why it's taken a couple weeks to set up the shop and finalize everything and get everything launched. I still have quite a bit more work to do. There are still some more logos and designs that need to be finalized. But for now, we have 5 different logos and a bunch of different varieties. You can really get it in anything. I'm also going to be leaving the link for that website down below, as well as the Patreon. So if you want to get those exclusive episodes, head on down to Patreon. And if you want to shop the Hot Hot Mess Podcast shop, whew, that's a fucking mouthful, then I will also be leaving that link down below. You can go ahead and shop. So those are all of the announcements that I have for this week. Let's go ahead and get into this week's topic. Like I said, the episode I was going to upload just unfortunately did not make the fucking cut, but there were some really good points that I had, and I experienced something this week that I really want to kind of touch on because I think that there are some really great takeaways. And as we know, for the past year and a half or so, I have been working on dropping my toxic tendencies and really, really working on myself. And any way that I can help you guys realize some things within your dynamic or help you with some of the crazy people in your life, I'm going to jump all over that. So I learned something this week, and I actually learned it on TikTok. And so I kind of want to discuss that. But before I do, I have to do a little backstory on what happened this week. Now, I'm not going to get super into depth and detail about it because that is where I went wrong in the last episode and the one that didn't make the cut. So I'm going to keep it really short and simple for the backstory, and then we're going to get into kind of the meat of it. To make a long story short, I have one particular person in my family who is a full-blown narcissist. I do love this person. I mean, they are a huge part of my family, but they just stopped emotionally developing probably past the age of 16 or 17. So when I speak to them, it really does feel like I'm still talking to a child. And I almost have to kind of meet them on their level, which unfortunately is exhausting. A lot of us have someone like this in our life, whether it's a friend or a family member, a coworker, and you guys know how absolutely exhausting it is. Like, you just want to shake them and be like, why do you not understand how to be a healthy adult? Which I'm sure a lot of people have felt the exact same way towards me when I was younger and even a couple of years ago. And some people probably still think that now, which is totally fine. You know, we're all on our own journey. Her behavior definitely affects my relationships with other people. When I set boundaries with this person, we're gonna call her Ringleader. When I set boundaries with Ringleader, she uses a manipulation tactic called triangulation. This has been going on pretty much my entire life. And I feel as I've gotten older and separated myself from my family, I mean, we're talking like states away from my family, I feel like it's gotten worse and worse and worse. So basically what triangulation is, it's a manipulation tactic where one person will not communicate directly with another person. Instead, they use a third party person to relay the communication to the second. So basically, Ringleader, instead of talking to me, will go through someone else that I am close to and have that second person talk to me. I've also had this when I have moved in with my hot mess ex-husband's family. His mother is also a narcissist and very manipulative. So if she ever had an issue with me, instead of coming directly to me and solving that problem, she would go through my ex-husband. And it puts a weird energy on all of us. Now, there are multiple different types of triangulation. There is another one that when two parents have a child, instead of the two parents being the closest and sharing different types of relationships, like sexual and intimate, and then obviously that triangles down to the child where they do not have the same relationship, obviously, one parent will form a stronger bond with the child because the other parent is neglecting the other parent, if that makes sense. So in a lot of cases with the mom and dad, if they have a son, the mother will then become closer to the son because her and the father's relationship is not as strong as it was. So she creates this unhealthy, almost codependency on her son or the other child. And then that's why you see when that son goes off to marry, you get a monster-in-law. Because instead of looking at her son as a son, she almost feels like she's losing her husband. Now, obviously, they don't share like a sexual connection, but they do have a certain type of intimacy where they may feel like they can confide in each other, or the mother can just dump all of her frustrations on the child, and then the child feels like they have to fix it. Creating a family triangle is healthy. There are certain boundaries and relationships. Triangulation is not healthy, really, at all. Just a little information for you guys, because I just started learning about all of this and did a lot of research. I think it's really fascinating. So within my family dynamic, we see a lot of triangulation, and this is why it's so frustrating to have this person, Ringleader, be a secondhand part of my life. Although I wouldn't call Ringleader and I close or really even have any sort of relationship, Ringleader really craves that, and it's not so much that she loves me and she wants to get to know me. It's more of a matter of, I used to be a severe people pleaser and I used to feed into manipulation because that was my comfort zone. Chaos and drama, that was where I was comfortable because of the childhood that I had. Well, as I've gotten older and started to work on myself and go to therapy, which if you don't go to therapy, you fucking should. Everybody should. I have 3 therapists at any given moment. But I've done a lot of work and I have looked into a lot of this and done a lot of research, and I don't put up with that shit anymore. I have boundaries, and if you don't respect those, then you need to get the fuck out. So anyway, moving on to the topic at hand, I see a lot of triangulation with ringleader and I'm a very direct person. If I have an issue that I feel can be resolved with ringleader, I will bring it up to her. Now, because she is a narcissist, and let me just tell you guys, I know that a lot of people, we've talked about this before, a lot of people will throw buzzwords around like, she's a sociopath, she's a narcissist, like, oh my God, she's just like a psycho. I'm not one of them. You guys know I'm not a trained psychologist. I'm not a therapist. I'm just a hot mess trying to be less of a hot mess. And with that comes research and education. But ringleader knows and understands cognitively that she is a narcissist. And here is how I know she knows that she is this way, because a little less than a year ago, or maybe coming up on a year, she actually sent me a book that helps you to deal with having a narcissist in the family. It is a self-help book that helps you deal with having a narcissist in your family. And from that moment, I was like, oh, so you fully understand everything going on with you. And at the time, she was trying, I think, to be better and to own up to her mistakes and her toxic behaviors. Unfortunately, it's a lot of unresolved behavior that has not been addressed, and most of her life it has been enabled. So it's going to be really hard for her to actually change that behavior. And on my end, I haven't seen a whole lot of growth. So that is kind of a little background on triangulation and a little bit about ringleader. I'm going to give you guys a very rough outline of things because I ain't trying to start no drama with anyone. I don't need you guys to realize how she's related to me or anything like that. So I'm going to keep things very non-specific. So the way that ringleader likes to use triangulation against me is I have another family member in my life that I am very close to. I'm a part of her wedding. She is someone that is super, super important to my life, even though we live states away. And I'm going to call her A. For no specific reason, just A. So when ringleader does something that starts an argument between us, most of the time she is breaking one of my boundaries. And this just happened a couple of months ago. She called me and broke a boundary of mine, and we haven't really spoken since. Now, I'm not going to go into all the crazy drama because that's not the main topic, but I do have to give some background. So what she'll do is she will break one of my boundaries or disrespect me in some kind of way. And what I do is set up a new boundary. Anytime someone breaks one of your boundaries, they now have consequences. So normally my consequence is I will not be speaking to you until I get an apology. One of her favorite things to do is sweep things under the rug, dismiss her bad behavior and her disrespect, and pretend like nothing ever happened. That way she doesn't have to own up to it. She doesn't have to hear your opinion. She just simply gets to move forward and continue the cycle in a couple of months. A couple of months ago, ringleader broke a boundary and disrespected me. Then comes in the consequences. I will not be speaking to you until I get an apology and you hear me out on what happened, why I'm upset, and why that is not tolerated. Now, because she is still kind of stuck in that like 16, 17 year old headspace and maturity level for the most part, it's really hard for her to own up to her bullshit. She also doesn't understand, because she is a narcissist, how her actions affect other people, and she also can't put herself into my shoes. These are all things that I have understood and accepted, but her behavior is something that I will not accept. You can understand why someone is the way that they are, but you don't have to put up with their behavior, especially if it's affecting you in a negative way, which obviously when someone disrespects me, it makes me want to bring out my Glendale hood rat side and pop off on a bitch. But we are enlightened. We are working through things. We are not fighting bitches in bars anymore. So moving forward, she disrespected me. I'm not talking to her. I have yet to get an apology. Now, this is where the triangulation comes in. A couple of days, maybe about a week or so after ringleader had disrespected me, I got a call from A. And A asked me what the hell happened. So I told her word for word exactly what happened. A defended ringleader. Now, Me and A's relationship always suffers when she's close to Ringleader. They live in the same state or really close to each other, and I'm obviously 3 or 4 states away from them. So when they get closer, unfortunately, A and I's relationship diminishes a little bit, and I have to distance myself because somehow Ringleader takes her toxic traits and the people around her adapt to that. A chose to defend Ringleader. Now, I can't really blame her for that. Her opinion is her opinion, and I respect that, and we just kind of let it go. Now, a couple days ago on Saturday, I got a message from Ringleader, and she offered to pay for a plane ticket for me to go out to where they live so I could be there for A's dress fitting. Now, normally that would be wonderful. That would be such a nice gift. However, because I know Ringleader, I know that this is a manipulation tool. One, she has to have all of the power because the moment I accept that plane ticket, in her eyes, I am no longer allowed to be upset by the disrespect she showed me 2 months ago. I have to sweep it under the rug and pretend like it never happened. That's not me. I'm not here to people please, and if you're going to offer me something, understand that when I get there, I'm going to have the same cold disposition towards you that I do now, because there's still unresolved issues, there's still unresolved feelings. So I knew that if I accepted that plane ticket, it was just feeding into the same cycle that Ringleader has continued for years and years and years. Now, another thing that you all should know about me, I don't fly. One of my biggest fears is flying. I'm severely claustrophobic. I am terrified of heights. And I also don't like not having control. When I drive anywhere with my partner, Will, I am the one driving because I cannot stand to not have that control. So you are wrapping up 3 of my biggest fears in one. It would have just been a wasted plane ticket because I couldn't physically get on that plane. Now, this is something that I have talked to Ringleader about numerous times, and she does not want to meet me in the middle. I have offered to look into Greyhound tickets, or if she wants to pay for me to get out there, send me the money and I'll drive. But this is where the complete control takes over for her and is the most important aspect, because she's not willing to meet me in the middle. This is also how I know that it's a manipulation tactic with her, because if it was truly about getting me out there for A's wedding dress fitting, she would have offered to meet me in the middle, and she didn't do that. So it wasn't about me being out there. It wasn't about her doing nice things for me and making everybody happy. It was about controlling what she could control in my life, because as I've gotten older, her control over me has diminished extensively. And that's also why she gets so frustrated with me, is because I don't allow her to speak to me the way that she used to. I don't allow her to manipulate me or control me the way that she used to. Anyway, I went off on a tangent there relative to the story, but I went off on a tangent. So moving on, she offered to get me a plane ticket and I very respectfully declined. So once again, she used triangulation against me, and she went to A and told A about how she offered me a plane ticket and I said no. So of course, the very next day, I get a message from A asking me what the hell is going on, why did I deny the plane ticket, and of course, I'm summing things up. This isn't exactly what was said. She did come at me in a very nice and respectful way, and I could tell that her feelings were hurt, so I just expressed to her, hey, you know, I don't fly, and I have had this boundary for a really long time, this fear for a really long time, and that's not going to change right now. Of course, she is upset, and her feelings are hurt, and her feelings are valid. I completely understand, but she also, in my opinion, wasn't really understanding where I was coming from, and she thought that my anger for Ringleader was the only reason I wasn't coming out there. Now, on top of my fear of flying and the manipulation from Ringleader, another big reason why I'm not able to just pick up everything and go is I am enrolled in school. They gave me 1 week's notice for me to fly out to their state. That would not have been enough for me to do my regular work and the work that I would be making up. So I would get a 0 on all of those assignments. I also run a podcast, duh. That would be really hard. I would not have time to pre-record and edit enough on top of school and getting ready to go. It just did not give me enough time. And unfortunately, every time they've offered for me to go out there, it has been, I need to know now, your plane would leave in 3 days. days, it's been very quick, go, 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 go. And there's been no time to plan before that. To me, it also shows a complete lack of respect for my time and what's going on in my life, which is a reoccurring theme with a ringleader. So I'm gonna get back on topic. This was the problem that I had in the other episode, is there's so much within this relationship with ringleader and A and the whole situation that's been going on. But basically, that is how ringleader and most narcissists will use triangulation against you. Once they no longer have an effect on you through manipulation, they will go to the other people that they know you have a strong relationship with. In this situation, ringleader went to A because she knows that A and I are very close. And of course, it sucks. It hurts my feelings when A's feelings are hurt. But if you think about it, there was absolutely zero reason why ringleader would go to A if she already knew my answer was no. The only thing that she would have accomplished is letting down A and having A be upset with me. And she did. She won that little battle. And this is a constant reoccurrence in our relationship. Anyway, moving forward, I want to give you guys a couple of tactics that I have been using when it comes to the narcissistic people in my family or just in my life in general. If you have anyone who relies on manipulation or triangulation or, you know, divide and conquer where it's playing one person against another, if you have people who love to manipulate, and especially if they're really good at it, and if you are kind of confused as to what manipulation may look like, definitely go back and listen to some of my older episodes. I have some really great examples there. But if you are dealing with someone, especially a narcissist, because narcissists feed off of your emotions, the moment they see a weakness, they will exploit it. One of my favorite techniques, it's called gray rocking. Now, we've all heard of stonewalling, and stonewalling is essentially to completely cut that person out. I'm going to read to you the exact definition of stonewalling. It is a refusal to communicate or cooperate. Such behavior occurs in situations such as marriage guidance counseling, diplomatic negotiations, politics, and legal cases. Body language may indicate and reinforce this by avoiding contact and engagement with the other party. So essentially, you don't talk to them, you don't communicate with them, you show zero interest in what they have to say. Some people don't even make eye contact. I mean, it is a complete and utter shutdown. That will tire them out and they will no longer speak to you anymore. With certain relationships in your life, for example, with ringleader and I, it's not possible for me to cut her out completely. Believe me, I have tried 100 times, but the fallout to that is way more than what I'm willing to deal with. There would be other family members who would not speak to me if I chose to not talk to ringleader, and it's just a constant fight with me and pretty much every other family member if I chose to cut out ringleader. So me doing that really is not an option as of right now, unless I come to the terms with the fact that I wouldn't have any contact with any of my family, and I'm just not at that point right now. So a really great alternative. This is also really helpful. Let's say if you have a child with someone and you have to co-parent, but that other person, your ex-spouse, is really manipulative and abusive and a narcissist, you still have to talk to them. You still have to co-parent with them. And it's really easy to get stuck in that manipulation cycle. So my favorite tool to use against a narcissist is called gray rocking. Now, if you haven't heard of this, I just figured this out. And like I said, I found it out on TikTok. If you've never heard of gray rocking, I will read you the exact definition right now. The gray rock strategy is one for dealing with a narcissist or sociopath where you act like a gray rock, meaning that you become uninterested or unresponsive. Using the gray rock method, your objective is to make someone lose interest in you. You don't feed into their need for drama or attention. Now, with narcissists, that's what feeds them. Like I said, they feed off of your emotion and your reactions. So if you have to communicate with someone and it's not an option for you to cut them out or completely stonewall them, you can always gray rock them. Now, I know that it is kind of difficult to get started. I know I struggled a lot in the beginning and I would respond out of anger or sadness. I mean, I still would react out of emotion. And it is 10 times harder to do in person, but it is possible. One of the techniques that I have learned to do when I'm dealing with a narcissist or a manipulative person and I have to gray rock them is, especially in person, honestly, because I struggled with this a lot, I will remind myself that no matter what they're saying, they're just trying to get a rise out of me. And if I feel some type of way about what they're saying, I am allowed to deal with that when this interaction is done. I am not going to deny my emotions forever, and I will literally schedule a time with myself to be mad or sad or however I feel in that moment. And I will tell myself, I'm allowed to be mad when I am home by myself, but this person does not deserve my reaction. And it's gonna take some time, it's gonna take some practice. I'm still not perfect. I mean, I have gone off on Ringleader on the phone because she knows how to play me. And you know, this was a few months ago. I keep getting better and better and better at this and not feeding into her need for attention. But I will raise my voice. I will get upset, especially because she talks over you. And this is also a really great technique for someone who does not listen to you, who doesn't let you get in a word in edgewise and continues to interrupt you. So what you do is you just have zero emotion and you give the bare minimum in responses. I'm talking, yep, okay, I understand, If you need to give them information, like court is on this day at this time, here's the location, then you do it, but you keep it short and sweet. They will push back 10 times harder, especially in the beginning, because they're so used to getting a response, to getting a rise out of you and you feeding into their narcissism, that it's going to be a shock to their system when you stop doing it. So they're going to come at you tenfold. Be prepared for that and understand that just because you're denying your emotions now does not mean that you don't get to go home and hit a pillow or punch a teddy bear or fucking scream, whatever you need to do to release those emotions. You're absolutely allowed to do that. They're probably going to get a rise out of you for a while. At some point, you're going to realize that their opinions don't fucking matter. And to be honest, they don't matter if they're willing to make you feel the way they do. But that comes with time, especially if this is someone that you love or someone that's in your family. I think it's really hard and confusing for people in my situation where Ringleader is a family member of mine. And this is someone that I love to the best of my abilities. But their behavior is also unacceptable, and I deserve better than that. And so do you. If you have to deal with someone like this, so do you. So I hope that this technique helps you moving forward. I hope you guys learned something. I really, really struggled with this episode, and there's so much information and backstory. And I mean, I'm sure this is going to be a longer episode this week too, but I think it's worth it. I think it's something that's not really talked about, the gray rock method. And it is so effective, you guys. I mean, when you start doing this to someone, you will see them literally lose steam. I mean, if you're in person, you will see it written all over their face. They will get so hyped and so upset that you're not feeding into them, and slowly but surely they will see that what they're saying has no effect on you, and they're just like, okay, fuck it. Like, I'm over this now. Now, something that I struggled with a lot, and I see a lot of people struggling with this too, so I'm not the only fucked up one, is in my household, if you got the last word, you were the winner. And you have to forget that. When you gray rock someone, the other person will always have the last word. They will probably have the last 100 words, and that's fine. What makes you the winner is the fact that you did not engage in toxic behavior, the fact that you were not affected, at least in the moment, or at least didn't show that you were affected in the moment by this person's behavior. And through time, when you continue to do this over and over and over again to someone, these interactions all together will get less and less and less. And to be honest, this person may just walk out of your life completely because you're not feeding into what they need. And at that point, you may not have any worth to them, which is fine. That is totally fine. If me feeding into your narcissistic, toxic behavior is how I make myself worthy to you, then you're not worthy to me. So I do hope that you guys learned from this. If you have any questions, please feel free to message me. I will keep you guys updated with all my bullshit, as I always do. I know that this was more of a informative and not so fun and upbeat, I guess. I don't know about you guys, but I find stuff like this really fascinating, and I definitely want to make my mini mess episodes more about being a hot fucking mess, because that's still who I am. I'm still a crazy, hot mess, irresponsible ass bitch, and that's probably not gonna go away for a long time. But I also have a lot of knowledge to drop, and I've come a really long way. So I think my longer episodes are going to be more about emotional intelligence and how to get yourself on the right track to being a better, healthier, happier human. And my mini mess episodes are going to be more about how I'm still a fucking hot mess. But I hope you guys did learn something. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I think as of right now, this is probably one of my favorite episodes. I had a lot of fun recording it, even though it's a fucking day late. If you do not follow me on Instagram, like I say every week, make sure you head down to the description box below, click on that link, follow me. Like I said, I'm going to be doing polls and surveys, seeing where you guys want me to take this podcast, what you want to talk about. Don't forget to check out Patreon. See if it's something you can do. If not, I completely understand. I appreciate you checking it out anyway. If you are interested in buying any of the A Hot Hot Mess podcast merch, I will also leave that link in the description box below. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your day. And as always, I will see you next Tuesday. Bye, bitches. Thank you.